Please turn with me once again to the book of Psalms and to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. And we shall read words that we find at the beginning of verse 4. Psalm 23, verse 4, at the beginning. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Amen. It is clear from the scriptures, and indeed from our own experience, that believers are already greatly blessed by God here in this life. So many things we should praise Him for. And we're thinking not simply of that which is common to all men, God's goodness in His providence, but we're thinking of those blessings which are spiritual and heavenly. So many blessings from our God. But here, in this life, there are also many difficulties. There are difficulties for God's people, common to mankind. But there are special difficulties for them, because they are the Lord's, His saints. Those who are identified with Christ and His cause. Well, in this psalm, the shepherd's psalm as we have called it, we're learning of the blessings which belong to God's people, but we're also given some sight of the difficulties and the trials which they face here. And right through the psalm, there is a parallel between the believer and the Savior in terms of what we know to be true concerning a shepherd and a sheep. Now, sheep are sometimes on the hilltop, but at other times, they're in the valley. And there's something there concerning the experience of God's people. We are not on the hilltop all the time. Very often, we are to be found in the valley. And what the text we have on this occasion is reminding us of is that there is a great valley we must all pass through one day, the valley of the shadow of death. We all know that old age can be the most difficult period of anyone's life because of the things associated with it. It's different for everyone, but very often in old age, there's a frailty and there's an increasing dependence upon others. And those who are elderly sometimes have the sorrow that those they knew and spent time with, their earthly companions, one by one they've gone. They no longer have fellowship with them. Their pleasures are gone. The interest they had are no longer important to them. And we know this. Soon, each and every one of us must leave everything but everything behind. That is man's lot. That is man's condition. We enter into this valley, the valley of the end of life. the valley of impending death. And what will it mean for us? That is what we desire to know, is it not? Death? What is it? What does it mean that I will die? And there is no wisdom at all in leaving the matter unresolved, in doubt, unclear, confused. There's every wisdom in going to the one place where you will learn of death in its reality, in its consequences, and why you and I must prepare for our dying day. We go to the Word of God. We go also to this psalm and this text to see what we may learn for our good. Well, we will, with God's help, consider three things from our text. Firstly, our death. Secondly, our hope. And then thirdly, and finally, our peace. To begin then with this, our death. The valley of the shadow of death. The experience of dying. Of course, we haven't undergone that experience yet. But we have, from the Word of God, some idea of what is involved. And we could say this, because of our text. The experience of dying is like travelling through a valley. It can be dark. If you are out in the country, at the morning time or the evening time, the sun coming up, the sun going down, at those times, the sun is shining on the hilltop. But the valley below can be in a sort of darkness. It hasn't got the illumination of the sunlight. You can't see the features of the valley very clearly. And death is like that for many. It is something of a mystery. People know it will happen, and yet they fail to grasp, to appreciate its consequences. It's not that we don't have some indication of what death is all about, because we all have a conscience. And the conscience speaks to us, and it does so in these terms: it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Now that's in Scripture. But we might say that that warning is there in your conscience, in my conscience. And that's a blessing. Remember that. If God speaks to your conscience, praise Him for it. Thank Him for it. Because God is speaking to you for your good, that you might consider your ways and return unto the Lord in repentance, and lay hold of the Saviour, Jesus Christ, and do so in the light of this truth of your impending death. But what do many people do? The conscience speaks, and they hide. They devote themselves to other things, lesser things. Anything but anything that will keep that thought away. The thought of coming to the end of life in this world. The valley is dark for many. But that is because of their own willfulness.
They will not go to the Bible. They will not read and learn and understand its message. And that is what we need to do. And then we will have an understanding, and we trust a wisdom, and we need the wisdom whereby we're made wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. The valley may also be deep. You may be on a hilltop, a mountaintop, and able to look down upon the valley. And from your summit, the valley seems to be very deep indeed. The floor of it is far below. And thinking of the sheep on the hillsides in a mountainous area, if they were to descend down into the valley for grazing perhaps, well, it would not be necessarily an easy thing. Rough crags and boulders in the way, a steep descent, they might even be fearful of taking their steps down the hillside into the valley bottom. And you see, with man, death can be like that, because it is an extended thing in terms of what leads up to it, in terms of a growing weakness and infirmity, in terms of enduring much pain and discomfort in body and in mind. What very frail creatures we are. We're only held together, as it were, by God upholding us in his providence. And if God ceased to do that, well then, we would meet our demise in this world. When it comes to one's last days in this world, even for the child of God, there may be a sort of going down in the mind. The devil becomes very active, and the saint of God is assailed by the evil one. What is Satan doing? Satan is trying to put doubts and fears into the minds of God's people. You see, we're called to glorify God in everything. Satan does not want to see God getting the glory in his people. Satan does not want to see the redemption of Christ taking its effect, revealing itself, showing itself to God's glory in the Lord's people. And so Satan tries to hide their grace, so that they're just like the world. They die like the world. The believer might go down through these temptations and through the assaults of Satan. We find one of the Psalms, Psalm 88. Heman is the author of this psalm. And there's a darkness in that psalm. The psalmist is brought very low indeed. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps. And the whole psalm continues much in that vein. But you have to remember, when you read a psalm like that, that here is a man of God, and though this is his thought, this is his feeling, his experience, What is he doing throughout the psalm? He's praying. He's speaking to God. He's seeking the Lord's help. There's the difference. What a difference. A believer might come to his or her end in this world, suffering from the same affliction, illness, as an unbeliever. But the believer comes to his end in the Lord. And the Lord is there with one of his own, coming to the end of the journey. And the Lord will hold up that saint. And that saint will go through the valley of the shadow of death. The Lord being with him. We might also say that a valley can be long. Perhaps you've driven through such a valley, and it seems to go on and on as you go down it, and the road twists this way and that way. When will it come to an end? And eventually it opens out into a wide plain. You've come to the end of the valley. Well, some are indeed taken out of this world swiftly, suddenly, perhaps even in their youth. But many linger here, and they decline slowly. And there are many infirmities. And we must say, each and every one of us here tonight, we are fading flesh. Fading flesh. There's a sort of glory to man in his youth. His strength and his vigor. Even his appearance. But it soon begins to fade. Everything diminishes. And man is seen in his weakness as his years pass by and come to the end of our years in this world, and we can be almost as dependent then as we were in our infancy when we began. We could not do then without mother and father. Then, in our old age, we need children around us, or others to help us. And this is the valley of death. It's a valley we will all pass through, and we have to be ready and armed, prepared by God and his grace, to be able to pass through that valley in a way that will be to God's glory, and in a way whereby we will be a blessing even to those who tend to us, and a blessing to our loved ones. Many believers from their deathbeds have been able to witness to their families, and to do so in a way that was perhaps far more powerful, eloquent, appealing to their loved ones than anything they said during their lives. Because this is the way we must all go. And here is a believer, and fading away. The body racked with pain, but the believer testifying of Jesus Christ, the Lord whom he loves, and the Lord whom he would commend to others as the only Saviour from sin and the believer, able to do so even with joy and a radiance which itself reveals the grace of God in his life. Our death. But then we come to our hope. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. David, walking with God, that is the secret of every believer. They walk in this world, but they do not walk alone, because the Lord is with them, the Lord is in their lives. The Lord met with them in mercy. Jesus Christ came to them, and by his Spirit entered into their heart, gave them a new heart, and a new hope. Hope in death. Well, what is death? What is it about? It is about separation. If you would sum it up in any word, that might be the one. Separation. You go back to Adam and his first sin, and the result of it, the result was separation from God. And then, when he died, the separation of his soul from his body. And we are Adam's children. So the same is true for us. We are dead in sin when we come into this world, separation from God. And then when we die physically, the soul will return to God who gave it. But more, after death, the judgment. And what we deserve and what we shall have if we go to God still in our sins, still bearing our guilt, the result will be eternal separation from God, from God in his goodness. It is a mistake to think that God is absent from hell, and that is why hell is what it is. God is present there in his wrath. His wrath. And so the experience of the unbelieving, impenitent, leaving this world is to be cast down into that pit. And there in that pit to undergo divine punishment, which is never exhausted, because those who are in hell do not cease to sin. They do not mend their ways. And there is nothing there for them of the goodness of God. They had that in this world. They enjoyed the common mercies of God, his provision. And they had the gospel. But they did not want the gospel. They put it from themselves. Got on with their worldly life. And there will be no gospel in hell. No one there to speak to them of Jesus Christ as a Savior they may still lay hold of. That will not be. And that is the awful reality of eternal punishment for those who die without Christ. Job spoke of the terrors of the shadow of death. There is a terror there, or there ought to be, for the unbelieving, coming to their end, in their decline, and knowing that soon they are to depart, there ought to be that thought, oh, what will it be for me to meet God? I who have never honored Him, given Him a place in my life, who rather have broken His law times without number, I who have done so many things which I know I ought not to have done, will I not be condemned? Will I not be damned? These thoughts ought to be in the mind of anyone here this evening who is not converted to Christ. This is the teaching of God's word, solemn indeed. There is a way through this valley, the valley of the shadow of death, a way which takes us not down to hell, but up to heaven. And that way is the way of Jesus Christ. Because Christ came into the world so that by His life and His death, He might open up the way to God. Open up a way of mercy and grace. Open up a way which requires of the sinner to believe in Him, and in Him to be assured of reconciliation with God. Christ died, but He rose again. And that is the great testimony concerning Jesus Christ, which the Word of God gives. It is what the apostles preached after Pentecost. The risen Christ, the reigning Lord, a Savior indeed, one that we should all be seeking. And in Christ is life for the sinner. He has gone ahead of His people into glory. Peter tells us that the Lord's people in Christ are begotten again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And may I ask you this question here this evening? Would you say that in the face of death, you have a lively, a living hope? Not a wishful thing, merely. Not something you would like to be, but a certainty. A lively hope of dwelling with the Lord. Of an inheritance undefiled, incorruptible, and that fadeth not away. The riches of the heavenly glory. It's not a material thing. That's man's problem in his sinful condition. He's this worldly. And he holds on to this world. And he tries to satisfy himself with this world. Heaven is altogether different. Spiritual delights. The delights of friendship, fellowship of God, and of fellow saints. The delights of the love of God. Experience there. In a way that is beyond anything we experience here. The absence of all that is sinful and carnal and corrupt. and so on. And God's people, they know these things here and now, and they seek by grace to live accordingly. Not perfectly, that might be in their hearts, the aim. It's not a reality yet, because of remaining sin. But they're on that narrow way, which leads unto life. And they live by hope. Hope in God, and a hope that is founded especially upon Jesus Christ as the mediator, the redeemer, as we were considering earlier today. The Savior who came to deliver his people from sinking down into hell, who bore the punishment that they deserve, and who in himself has lifted up his people, so that as justified sinners, they're also the children of God, and there's a holiness begun in their hearts and in their lives. Separation. Not something we like to think of. Many separations here in this world. You lose loved ones. They're taken from this world. But to lose your soul, that is the greatest loss of all. What is it to lose the soul? It's to have your soul, because you do not exist without your soul. But to lose any well-being of soul, to lose any happiness of soul, to lose any good thing concerning your soul, and to have before you for all eternity this thought: how foolish I was that I did not listen, I did not heed the gospel. And I busied myself with this life. And now I am here, tormented in this flame. And there's no deliverance for me. Well, now is the appointed time. Now is the day of salvation. We must give a serious, prayerful thought to these matters, if we would have hope in our death, a lively hope, one that will carry us through, one that will be fulfilled the very instant we depart and are with Christ. Our third and final point is our peace. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. We imagine that whenever David thought about this valley, the valley of the shadow of death, questions arose in his mind. We like that. Whenever there is a serious subject which is brought before us, we tend to have questions. What are the questions we all have concerning this valley? Well, we have questions such as these. When will I die? What will death be like? And of course, what will the outcome of death be? And these things and details concerning these things may be somewhat hidden from us. No one who's living obviously has experienced death. So we cannot say for ourselves what it will be like. The Word of God must guide us, but there will be things that are simply unknown and unknowable concerning the experience of it until that experience becomes our experience. And that is what the shadow of death surely refers to. The shadow of death, things hidden from us. Now we can all be fearful of the dark, we were in our youth, fearful in our adulthood of what might lurk in the shadows. But if our sins are forgiven through Jesus Christ, through his work on the cross, shedding his blood to take away sin, then death should hold no terror for us. Even when we come to our dying day, as believers, we are walking in the light of the Lord. The light of his countenance is lifted upon us. And you read that in the accounts of some well-known saints of old and godly men and women of old, things recorded concerning them that when they came to their last day, their last moments, well, there was indeed that brightness spiritually, and the sense they were getting and the experience they were having of the love of God. It was being revealed to them then, perhaps in a way they'd never known it before. And that was the Lord reassuring them on their deathbed of his love for them and how he would be with them right through until they were with him in glory. Mysteries concerning death and what it will be like. But David had the answer to the greatest question of all. And that question is, where am I going when I die? Oh, David knew. He knew that he would go through the valley and into glory. And that immediately. There's no comfort at all in that doctrine, which is referred to as purgatory. You will have heard of that, taught especially in the Roman Catholic Church. Even those who've been faithful to the Church and done the things prescribed by the Church, lived an outwardly moral life, what is before them when they die? Well, they have to spend time in the purifying fire to be refined further. It's a sort of payment for things lacking in this life. But they're helped, we're told, in their passage through purgatory into heaven by the prayers and other things done by those who remain in this world. But year after year after year, that is where they are. Suffering. Suffering. How alien to the Bible. And how foreign to believers who have indeed experienced the saving grace of God. And rejoice to know that their sins are forgiven, that Christ dealt with them all. And we think of the words of the Saviour to the dying thief, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Well, think of that man. Wretched individual. Guilty. In man's terms, but guilty in God's terms. And on his dying day, his dying hour, the Lord having mercy upon him. No time for him to do anything. No time for good works. And Jesus said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Through the valley of the shadow of death and into glory. Into the Father's house of many mansions. Is that where we hope to be? Well, it will only be if we are in Christ, by faith in him. The psalmist spoke elsewhere of those who draw near unto the gates of death. Is that not all of us? Sooner or later, we must draw near, and then very near, to the gates of death, and then enter those gates. Well, as you think of that, do you have peace? Peace in your soul. David is saying, "I will fear no evil when I go through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil. Whatever will happen, whatever the experience will be like, I will not be afraid in the sense of terror, in the sense of some threat, some punishment. No, I have a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And the Lord goes before me." And has not Jesus Christ gone before each one of his people? And has he not made death for his saints to be that which they may look forward to with peace? Christ has drawn the sting of death. And that sting is sin. He's done that for his people. And in Christ, believers will have peace, even when they come to that day. Only in Christ. We often hear of so and so dying peacefully in their sleep, perhaps surrounded by their loved ones. It is an attractive picture, but we wonder whether that is always the full picture. And we think that perhaps on many occasions the apparent peace is not the peace of which we are speaking. There's no peace with God. That's the essential thing. That in this life, by his grace, you have found peace with God. Peace, which is grounded upon what Christ accomplished on the cross. Not on your good works, not on your morals, not on any worthy quality you think you have or any deed you've done, but on Christ, the perfect man, the God-man, and the surety of his people. He's discharged all the debts they owe to God. And so in Christ, we may have peace even in our death. Fearing no evil. Death is not an evil for God's people. It is not a payment for their sin because of Christ who paid for all their sin. It is that door opening for them into their eternal home, where their hearts are already, where they long to be, and where they shall be immediately and eternally. And the greatest wonder of it all is that they deserve nothing of it. But there they are, by God's grace, with Christ, which is far better. Or may we know, through faith in Christ, the peace that David had, fearing no evil, even though he would walk through the valley of the shadow of death, as we must all do. May God bless his word. Let us pray. O Lord, we thank thee for thy word, and may it shine in our hearts, and may it give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in Jesus Christ, our precious Saviour, and the one who has gone before his people as their shepherd into heaven, and they shall follow him. And grant, O Lord, to sustain us all in our lives here, and even as our lives go on, to be with us still, right until our dying day and our dying moment. And may we have such preparation of grace as to be able to bear witness to thee and thy salvation at that time. Bless thy word and forgive us our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen.